Shaker. Inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hello, this is Doremus Jones, pastor of the Breaking the Walls Ministry, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Good morning, Rev. And that was the Breaking Walls, I believe, right? So take them umbrellas out today if y'all go out for real. Oh my gosh. You know, sometimes my ears work like unbelievable. Because the morning weather is unpredictable like everything else. And I was listening to the news this morning. They didn't say it's pouring at this minute because I kept saying, but it sure sounds like rain. And it was pouring, y'all. I mean, it was cutting up out there early this morning. Some of y'all laying in the bed chilling right now. I said, oh, it sure is nice sleep. Drive in it. No, have mercy. Man, it was pretty you know, it was a lot of ponding out there, a lot. The interstate system really, you know, ponds. And I'm sure everybody knows that. Wish they could do a little bit more drainage work.
Yeah. Some, you keep the water off the roads.
Just drainage, yeah, because then it would, you know, it would leave or something. Or maybe it was raining so hard so fast that it didn't have time to move. That and some stripes.
True.
Because you can't see, it's dark, it's blinding rain. And some stripes are some of those reflecting things. So, you know, I'm just saying, it's different in the daytime, but when it's dark, it's like, oh, Lord. But anyway, so hopefully some of you that were in that torrential rain of an hour or so ago got to your destination and were able to go on about your day. It sure slowed me down because I said, I'm getting off this interstate because, you know, you can't control your car. And not like you would like to be able to. And the people around, they can't see you. You can't see them. So it's like, oh, this is the deadly combination. You know, in my younger day, I would have plowed through. But, you know, I'm all cautious and careful now, you know. I'm like, well, you know, I don't have to take the interstate. I can do an alternate route. Because I love myself. And I love yours truly. And it's going to take me forever almost to get to work. But I made it. That's what's up. Anyway, how are you?
Excellent. And yourself?
Well, I'm damp, wet, and stepped right in a giant puddle outside my house.
Oh, wow.
I was like, because it was dark, you know. I was like, oh, Lord. You know, when you have on flip-flops, you know how a puddle is, right?
Yeah.
You might as well just be barefoot.
Yeah.
So my shoes are still soaked. So I guess I should take them off now. I've been here, but,
yeah.
You know, the longer I just keep wearing them, the more wet they're going to be. I had to put them in there in that thing, that fan thing.
Yeah, let them
dry out. Yeah. But that's the trials and tribulations of getting to work. Everybody knows it. So, you know, everybody's experiencing it. Some of you are early shifts. Did you ever used to work early shift?
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 a.m.?
I've worked every shift.
And
every shift there is. Overnight, I've worked every shift.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which one was the roughest?
Probably that afternoon shift. Like if you work from 3:30 to 11 or something.
Oh, that
like
was
that.
Me, wasn't it? I'm sorry, y'all. That was my coffee cup.
Yeah, those are the hardest.
From when?
If you're working, we call it second shift, 3:30 in the afternoon till about 11:30 at
Who
night.
Who is we?
11.
Everybody calls it second shift. Yeah. We. Yeah. Why? I mean, it's early.
It is, but those can be some of your most productive hours in the day, and so if you work those shifts, it just sort of wipes out a lot of things that you would normally do in the afternoon. So
if you're getting paid,
you might be getting paid, but there's still life, and you miss out on a lot of life.
Well, that's too bad. You're getting a check, okay? That's how I see it. I mean, you know, bump that.
Well, that's why, I mean, some people enjoy it, but I didn't.
Well, I could think of a lot of reasons, but that wouldn't be one.
Yeah.
Because getting off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not productive at 3.
Yeah, you still have life, though. You still have things that you can do, especially if you have kids. Those hours eat up a lot of your livelihood. If you're raising kids and your kids are at school in the daytime, and then you're working second shift, you don't really get to see them or interact with them.
You're not going to see them anyway, because they're going to be at school.
But then you're not going to see them because you're at work when they get home.
But then you'll be home shortly.
If they'll be asleep.
At 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, they're going to be asleep.
No, if you go into work at 3:30, if you're working second shift.
Oh, yeah. If you go in at 3:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You just have to work around it.
Yeah.
You know. I think the worst to me of every possible configuration of shifts I've ever worked in my entire life was the dreaded midnight to 7, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I was like, that one is like, you're good up until a certain point, and then your mind and body start shutting down.
Yeah,
you just start, you know, if something doesn't move or if I don't move around or breathe, this is going to not turn out good. So that was the worst. And that's to me equally as bad, because you're gone overnight and you have to find an overnight babysitter for your kids. And then you got to spend the money to pay somebody to keep them for you. you have to wake them up and take them to the babysitters, or if the babysitter comes to you, that disrupts sleep, everything. And I don't know, that didn't seem to work for me. So I don't know, but that midnight thing was just... That means you got to go to bed early all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. That's for sure. Anyway, so grateful to work, amen, and have a job and all that, because a lot of people don't. But I was just thinking about them shifts, and because in the radio audience, in this realm, you don't know where somebody is in their day mind. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody could be at work. Somebody could be on the way. Or, excuse me. Or somebody could be just at home chilling, breakfast, lunch, dinner. So, you know, from time to time, I've always tried to put in my head where and what people are doing at particular times as it relates to my air time, or even the station time or time. 'Cause the audience is varied, and they do a whole host of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And may pick up something at the end of a sentence versus the complete beginning. And that's why largely we have to repeat stuff 10 times. 'Cause somebody, you say it once, and that's just not going to be enough. So, you know, it's just some of those quirky little quirks that cross our mind, or crosses mine. I can't speak for everybody. It crosses mind mind, because we're, in my opinion, in service to a listening audience and try to relate to them wherever they are. And we hope that, in my vision, some of you all are at work, some of you all are in the bed, some of you all are in the kitchen, some of you all are have to work in a few hours. Some of you all are half open, eyes open, half, because we could be their alarm clock.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We could be. Ding, 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 it's us. Anyway, we hope that you all have a stress-free day today, because having those are so very important for your mind and your body. Unplug and unwind and give yourself some time and collect your minds and your thoughts as we enter a new month coming up in Tuesday.
Yep.
We're marching on to the month of September, and goodbye hot August and rainy August. This weather is typical classic as it relates to the hurricanes and the tropical weather, and then the general pattern that they take. And it just seems like through every hurricane, after it's done its damage down in the areas that it's done its damage in, it wrings itself out like a wet cloth over Tennessee.
Yep.
Every single time. So I would guess that we would be considered as the final resting place for the hurricanes as they come through the weather patterns. The residents in southwestern Louisiana are embarking on the epic task of clearing away felled trees, ripped off roofs, and down power lines after Hurricane Laura tore through parts of the state. This is just ever so reminiscent mm-hmm. to Katrina, since that was the anniversary there a couple days ago of Hurricane Katrina. The U.S. Toll from a Category 4 hurricane rose to 16 deaths, with more than half of those killed by carbon monoxide poisoning from the unsafe operation of generators. President Donald Trump toured the damage from Laura in Louisiana and Texas on Saturday. He and Governor John Bel Edwards made their way down a street blocked by trees and where houses were battered by the storm. So, yet again, those people in Texas, Louisiana, and other states have to rebuild their lives yet again. And many will rebuild, some will not. Some will move to other areas. But carbon monoxide poisoning. If you have a generator,
mm-hmm.
If it's in the house, that's the issue.
That's how you, yeah.
Yeah. And not, you know, on the porch or wherever. But, you know, the storage of it and the placement of it. I talked to somebody in another state, another part of the country, and he has one. And he has a little hood thing that he built outside of his house. And just like a little doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
The house is his generator. So it's not directly in the house. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. And well, he said, as this person who I know well, and they know me well, said, well, you know you're not supposed to be having that thing in the house so you can breathe all that stuff. And I was like,
duh. That's true.
Well, I didn't know. I have never had one because I was considering that. And then after I considered it, I said, where would I put it? And then I talked to somebody I knew that had one that was practical and good with their handy hands and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he suggested that I do. And I'm like, oh, Lord, build me love. I mean, just, you know, because I hadn't really dwelled. I just said, oh, get one and have it, put it in the closet. No. You know, there's a lot of safety that goes in, and those people were desperate to get electricity back because the whole area lost it.
Yeah, and, whole city.
Yeah, and they just did the easiest and quickest thing as they could, but it has had consequences. And, you know, I hope that if you ever use one, that you have some proper ventilation, as you would have to have a generator plugged in or have it somewhere where you're not in direct breathing of the fumes of that. This week has been so full that I have to have two preachers on today, okay?
Yeah.
One is not enough. this next hour, we have a Nashville pastor, Middle Tennessee, and the guest on, and they will be talking about, they both have books and subjects that they have worked on for a while in the same arena. And I said, oh, okay. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to give our local pastor an opportunity to chime in on his work in this area. And and then the guest, Dr. Matthew Kim, he's a professor of preaching at Theological Seminary. So, and they both have prepared subject on that. So you should hear, and, you know, likely close in age, but hear as they discuss the art of preaching, because there's an art to it.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to jump
sure
up
is.
In there and everybody going to be like, who that? who that and why? So that means there's some work that has to go in. And time. So that will be the subject. So as you listen to different services and pastors and et cetera, then you will hear some things from these two gentlemen today about the fine arts. So you can know when you're getting arted.
That's right.
You can dig it, you know. And sometimes is it from the Lord or is it from the hoop index? Like Sharon Kay, you know, made up a word. Well, you know, I'm known for that. So, good morning, sunshines out there, glories. Morning glories. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. This week's WFSK Artist of the Week is saxophonist Mike Phillips. His latest release is entitled Pulling Off the Covers. Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. Don't miss the WFSK feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88 Nashville's Jazz Station.
Many employees unable to work because of COVID-19 related reasons may be able to take up to 2 weeks of paid sick leave and up to 10 more weeks of paid leave to care for their children whose schools or places of care have closed or whose daycare providers are unavailable. To find out if you qualify, visit dol.gov/FFCRA or call a trained professional at 866-4-US-WAGE. This message is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Labor.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Your voice, your vote. In our democracy, they matter. Make yours count. Get registered, learn the issues, and vote by or on November 3rd. Visit vote411.org. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University 5th and final Sunday for August of 2020. Everyone was excited in anticipation, looking for the year 2020 to come. And now that we've experienced it, most everyone is saying next. So,
true.
2020, you know, if you have 2020 vision, you have perfect vision. If you have 2020 thought processes, hindsight, you're pretty good at figuring things out. But nobody figured this out, okay? This 2020, they couldn't get this one. It's been quite a year. We're down to the almost down to the final 3 months of it, and don't y'all get weary now and say, I can't make it, I can't take it, because so many people are struggling and having a difficult time, because stuff is coming at you at a rather rapid pace. If we can just get to November.
And that's right around the corner.
Oh, praise the Lord. And a change could come, Holly. Oh, Lord. Oh, help me, revive me again. If a I'm about to go down, Lord. If a, because there's the ball of confusion has just really spun the world on its ear, and we'll get into that subject in just a second. Let me start with some local here. Governor Bill Lee has once again extended the state of emergency until the end of September. Lee, a Republican, initially imposed the state of emergency on March 12th in order to free up funding and relax rules regarding the treatment and containment of COVID-19. The state of emergency urges but does not require people wear masks when out in public and urges limited activity, that they continue to maintain social distancing and stay home whenever possible. Lee extended the order on Friday, the day before it was set to expire. Are you still seeing the mask and all?
Mask increase? I am.
And are they grumbling or are they just wearing them?
I think most people are just wearing them. Every now and then you come across some people who don't have one on.
Really?
But yeah, every now and then. But for the most part, people are wearing them.
They don't have one on, or they're just not wearing it?
Don't have one on, and I don't see one in sight.
Okay. I've been noticing vast improvements in the behavior of people as it relates to masks and quit your tripping people. Since the candidate Biden and mm-hmm. his team, you know, wore them and set the example that a grown person should set. And I've just been noticing that you know, it's not that mm-hmm. it's not okay. I mean, that's nuts, y'all. So let's hope that, you know, because we ain't turned the corner yet. Because Governor Lee said and did what he's doing, but it does not, you know, we're in Davison, so, you know, cases still going on here.
And they're only going down because we're wearing the masks. And I saw on the news where in, what was it, Williamson County, where the mayor there ended the mandate, and I started thinking to myself,
I'm not going down there.
You know,
I'm just saying, you know.
I started thinking to myself,
are you ready for that mentally?
I mean, it just, it boggles the mind. It truly does. Because what you're saying is that our people from other counties can just stroll on in there.
Yes, that's what they're saying. And they're not in the public health system that the major cities are, because those counties have their own public health. So that's a lesson learned for the future. I'm staying up in Davidson County, okay? I'm not, mm-hmm. I am not venturing around me because I don't want to be subject to the things that, you know, because I remember when Wilson didn't have it and they were right next to Nashville and down there fighting it and mad and angry. You know, no such a thing and all that. And within a week, and that was in July, within a week their cases doubled because people that work here live there, mm-hmm. vice versa, have friends, family, etc. So it's as if people to some degree thought that it was going to stop at the county line. I don't know how and why. It's this imaginary thinking that this magical dust thinking that people have is, you know, it's like so serious and so ridiculous that, you know, if it was magic dust, then the dust should have been dropped from the beginning and then there wouldn't be 182,000 people dead, and 5 point whatever now cases, and you know, just if the magical dust worked. So obviously, the magical dust and all that stuff, and your bulletproof—that, you know—that has yet to work. So I'm saying that I'm going to be, like, skeptical. I'm going to be, well, because I just, you know, I'm not there. I you know, because some folk are immediately going to go back into happy days mm-hmm. here again. And there's, you know, they're leaving it up to, you know, do it if you want to. If not, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And, you know what folks are going to do.
So they interviewed a lady, and they said, I don't recall the exact question, but it was something to the effect of, you know, are you going to wear a mask? And she says, no, because it's not in the Constitution, so I won't be wearing a mask. And so I remember thinking to myself,
in the Constitution,
like, wow, what does that have to do with someone who could have COVID coughing on you or breathing on you, and maybe they don't have a mask?
Well,
so I mean, to me, I'm just thinking to myself, wow.
Yeah.
Like wow.
Yeah.
That's how you okay.
Well, it's really interesting how through time people have jump in and out of the Constitution whenever it's convenient.
Yeah, when it's convenient for them.
And when it's the other laws that impact people like black folk, they're like, well, I don't want to see it and hear it, you know, because there was a Constitution during the Civil Rights Movement and all that, but I didn't see none of y'all hollering, none of that, because, you know, but I was pre-Civil Rights Act, pre-Voting Act. I didn't hear y'all hollering none of that. Let's fix it. So, you know, I'm just, that's escape clause. That's really what that is. That's like a, let me baffle the mind. Now, coming up this week, speaking of the Constitution, thank you, Lord, for this person coming up. Wednesday. How long has he been scheduled? Don't say his name. How long?
For quite some time.
Okay. Four times such as the Constitution, people. He is a professor of law with expertise on the Constitution. And if you listen to this show, you should be familiar with Dr. Ian F. Haney Lopez. He's the dog whistle professor that wrote the dog whistle book. And from UC Berkeley. And I like to pull Dr. Lopez out when I need him.
Mm-hmm.
And I always need him now because it's so much, you know, it's just so rich out here.
So much going on.
Yeah, so he is Chief Justice Earl Warren Professor of Public Law and considered as an authority on the subject. So he's at 5, and then at 4 is the history of the history and science behind the color of our skin, the skin you're in that keeps people up at night worrying about it and trying to change it and mad at it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. It really is not. So that's what's coming up this week. Now let me get into what's going on with these headlines here in this across this country, out of Kenosha, Wisconsin. With chance of no justice and no peace, a diverse crowd of roughly 1,000 demonstrators gathered at a Wisconsin courthouse to denounce police violence and share messages of change. Yesterday's protests came 1 week after an officer shot Jacob Blake in the back and left the 29-year-old black man paralyzed. Blake's father, Jacob Blake Sr., says and was among the speakers. He gave an impassioned call for changing a system he says has fostered police brutality. Meanwhile, the White House says President Trump plans to visit Kenosha on Tuesday and meet with law enforcement and survey areas of the city affected by protests that turned violent. Now, all of us know that he's going to turn that in the cities burning, black folk going crazy. Be scared, be very scared. It's going to be more that he's going to rattle the pan on it. I'm in Kenosha and I'm with the police and they're under attack and, you know, they're perfect and flawless. And he's going to paint that one and ride that horse, that donkey, all the way to November. But that scaring white folks thing is as old as dirt. So You know, lately he's been compared to Bull Connor and people of that nature. George Wallace, well, I mean, he's acting an awful lot like him.
And I'm tired of that being used as an excuse. And here's one of the things, if there's a surrogate for the Biden-Harris campaign listening this morning, that Joe Biden needs to come out and speak back to that nonsense and call it out for what it is and emphatically, continuously say what it is, that is blatant racism, it's a dog whistle, and it cannot be tolerated. And he has to be as clear and concise and continue to hammer that home from now until early voting.
Do you think that that man doesn't know that?
I don't, he should have been, after what we saw at that convention last week, that should be one of the things that Joe Biden, you have a black running mate. So clearly that discussion, and he has black staffers and head of campaigns.
He's been and I don't know
exactly
if you just missed it.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No, he's got to come out and say it. I'm not hearing it.
I've been hearing it come out and say it.
I've been reading it in the tweets. He's got to come out and say, folks, that's racism. He's got to say it. I have not heard him say that. Folks, that is blatant racism, and we're not going to stand for it.
He said it during the thing.
When?
He has said it. X, don't start that one.
When?
Because, see, if this is the systematic tearing down of somebody who is attempting to get some stuff done, and we're going to sit here and say, here's what you're not doing.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
It's not. If you can't say it at the campaign in your speech and then allow Trump to come out and continuously call the dog whistle between now and we just said that he's using the race card to scare people. So that's going to be the case.
That's not new. He's been using the race card to scare people the entire time he's been there.
That's my point. So you can't allow him to just come out and just continuously do it without beating it back at every time.
He's beating it back.
Nah.
If all you're doing is viewing Twitter.
Nope.
Then
I'm not. I'm reading Joe Biden's comments. Trump should not be one of the first persons to go on to Wisconsin, and we know what he's getting ready to do. So if you're Joe Biden, you can't let him just sit there and do that and then just tweet something or make a speech someplace. You've got to meet him and beat him at his own game.
Well, number one, he doesn't need to react every time Trump does these Trump shows.
Okay.
Because every time he does that, that means he's surrendered. And I think that he and Kamala Harris are leaders, and they know how to lead. And I do not think for one second that neither one of them or any of the black folks inside of their camp has not said that, because these issues are popping like popcorn eggs every day, every minute. This stuff, and you know, he's talked to the Blake father and the family the right after the
we'll
shooting.
We'll see.
He's already had that
We'll see this week because Trump is headed to Wisconsin this week.
He had the conversation with them right after it happened. He had a conversation,
and so did
over
Trump.
The phone. And no, he has not.
The mother said, I have the utmost respect for the president, because she said, I missed his call.
Because he didn't make one. Okay?
His mother said that he called.
Well, she missed it because he probably didn't make it. And he didn't call the moment it happened. He called days later.
Again.
Kenosha is a week later, X.
I'm talking about the young man.
It. Trump has not mentioned Kenosha and this Jacob Blake situation at all.
Because he's talking to his base. He's not talking to the rest of us.
It doesn't matter. We're not specifying that, okay?
But I am, because watching. Yes.
But you're speaking to about the campaign and making a statement. And Joe Biden has to talk to more than just the base.
I'm talking about Trump's base.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
But more than Trump's base is listening. It's those people who watched that campaign who were leaning toward Joe Biden, and Trump is trying to make them feel comfortable. Those people who are having reservations, those people that we need their vote. And we can't allow Trump to just sit back and make them feel comfortable. We have to speak back to it. And the only person who can speak back to it at that level is the person who's running against him, who happens to be a white man.
Well, and that very well is maybe the mindset of so many people. But if they already don't feel in their heart of hearts that he's dangerous, There's something wrong, okay?
There is something. That's
mean,
what I'm
seriously,
saying.
Seriously, I
that's
ain't
why,
playing. If
that's
they
why
can't
the gap,
already tell.
That's why the gap has narrowed. I was watching the thing this morning and say he's after he's gotten an RNC bump from that reality show that happened
well,
last week.
Well, that's what conventions do.
Yeah. So if they didn't feel like, oh, wow, let me give him a second thought, then it wouldn't be a bump. And that's part of what I'm saying. So there's a strategy to what Trump is doing, and Biden can ill afford, especially with early voting taking place, to let up off of what Trump is doing.
There's a bump. Who put the stats out? There's a bump, but that could very well be some of his own people who finally answered one of them 1,000 RNC phone calls to your house directly to poll you and to send you emails and to get that response. That could be that, because they calling me at my house.
And I'm getting them text messages from the RNC. I'm
and
like,
I
please,
have never
stop.
Registered as a Republican and never will.
And I'm getting those, and I'm like, I'm getting them from both. I'm getting them from the RNC and from the DNC.
Well, I'm getting them every minute from the RNC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, so desperation, I guess. I don't know. You're going to realize you have all the people in the party and all the citizens and haven't done a doggone thing for them in your entire life. And we're supposed to sit and believe. Oh, I believe, Lord. He's done showed me 4 years of absolute insanity and foolishness.
We just,
how stupid are people?
Okay,
well,
we'll
find out, I guess.
We just had a lady on the news this morning in Williamson County who said it's her constitutional right not to wear a mask. I wonder who she's voting for. There are many people, and that's what I'm talking about.
Well, she was already going to vote for him in the first place, okay?
And that's
you
said and there
Williamson
are people like
County.
That. Mm-hmm.
That's a red county, okay? Been
of course
red
it is.
And always going to be, okay?
But not
that's
everybody,
not going to change.
Not everybody in that county is a Trump supporter.
No, they're not.
But there are people who are wavering.
I don't even think down there they waver, okay? I'm not on that subject. You know, there's black folks in Williamson County, and they feel the way they feel, and some of them's Republican, as the day is long. And we let us, when we come back, talk about all the clown service that the black folk that are Republicans did during that convention, okay?
Herschel Walker.
I mean, the embarrassment of that absolute stack of lies and that clown show. And, it just, you know, it just took our brains and said, "Pooh," because it was just way, way, way,
over
way.
The top.
It was just too much. So even people who, and the fear, I'm more concerned about the fear that, you know, some white people that haven't moved through their hate and racism, you know, that down in their chest. Y'all know it's down deep in there. You're going to have to work it out. We got to circumcise it, Lord, because it's down in so deep they have never dealt with it and haven't recognized it because they are in denial. And when you're in entitlement, you know, you just want to live in it. You don't want to give it up. You don't want to know what it's like to you know, be a blessing, be blessed. You don't want to do that. Time will reveal. It really will because, you know, I feel so good knowing that God continues to be in control. Because if he decides enough is enough, and I'm, you know, thus said the Lord, then it doesn't matter what any of those people, it doesn't matter, okay? Because I feel there's a change coming. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blue Slam in the City.
Well, at one point,
in the intro.
That's Laddie Moore, and what is he talking about? It's good, and he'll explain this weekend. Willie Clayton drops by to talk about his new project, and the late great master of the Telecaster, Albert Collins, will perform one of his past performances live. Join me, Rosine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey. Want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mike Rowe here, reminding you to call or click 811 before you dig. I don't care if you're putting in a fence post or a mailbox or working out in the garden. There's a lot of stuff underground you can't see. And every few minutes, somebody tears into a line, pipe, cable, or wire. Don't be that person. Call or click 811 before you dig. Or better yet, go to safeexcavator.com to see what I look like rowing a boat in a sewer. It'll leave an impression, guaranteed. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com.
Are you worried about your paycheck or safety at work? The U.S. Department of Labor wants to make sure you're protected and paid properly. Call us at 866-487-WAGE or visit worker.gov.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. Historic Fisk University. Rain is falling a bit over here in the heart and soul of the city, the historic corridor, North Nashville. And in the side of town right now. So depending on where you live. But clearly, we're going to see more of it today. Those quick, pretty quick showers, you know. And some of them, like, was it Friday when that went through?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I lost a limb off my tree.
Wow.
Yeah. I just happened to be standing looking out the door and then bloom. I'm like, oh, Lord. thank you, Jesus. It was way out there. And it came, you know, it didn't come like so fast, but it came fast.
Yeah.
And the wind was just fierce. So those kind of things, you know, pop up, and they're quick and fast and in a hurry. You got to be paying attention. And when I saw that sky black, I'm like, I don't need to watch TV because I know what this is. I recognize black sky, you know. Anyway. So just keep that in mind for you today. Now, we're going to go back to what we were talking about because I, you know, for the last couple of weeks or so, before Kamala Harris was named and before this and before that, I have been talking a lot about please don't let the Democrats do thus and so. To kill, because we always shoot our own selves.
Yep.
We shoot our own selves with our own mouths and thoughts. And then we give the opposition campaign something to dig into us with and use that to beat the Democrats down. And I wish at some point we would stop giving them the talking points because we keep doing that ourselves by saying similar things to, you know, because my concern with Kamala Harris was that two black women, she wasn't going to be black enough, or her hair wasn't going to be this way. Or, I mean, just a little superficial foolishness that keeps us down. And that so far hasn't happened. I heard a white lady say she's not black enough in Ohio on the news. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. When did you become the meter for black enough? She's not black. Oh, okay. All right, fine. Just like Barack Obama's not black either. that mindset. There's nothing those kind of people would ever change their mind on, because they're in their bodies and minds are engraved with this stuff. This all they know. And I just, unless they are consciously going to have an awakening, maybe they might have a Jesus Christ visitation in the middle of the night. They will come and say, you know, I'm going to whatever. But, you know, they won't let that go. And all the researchers and professionals and psychologists and psychiatrists and mental health professionals and all these people I had on this show all these years, you know, it's just like being a drug addict, you know. First step is, you know, confessing. And, it, you know, they're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do it. So I just don't want to see us kill this thing, because the energy is good. But, you know, the poles are going to go up and down just like the sun in the clouds here. And so we can't overreact. I know that more people watched the Democratic convention than watched the Trump show. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, that bump came as a result. That was a big
one. Watch his speech. I didn't watch that whole night. I just watched the commentary, because I didn't want to give him the opportunity to say I had the greatest ratings. And
Well, he couldn't, because they was going to fact check him.
Yeah.
You know, they have gotten so now they fact check him every sentence.
Right, right, yeah. Pause, you know, pause right, it right there. Right. That's not true.
Roll tape, here it is. Because they have the access to the same ratings that they do.
They should do that during those debates. Pause it. Let's look up here on the screen.
Well,
He'll never allow that to be part of it. We've never ever had to do that
before.
Yeah.
Because
he'll fight that.
The country has never had anybody quite as insane as this man.
He'll fight it. We've never
had that before. So, and most of the things that he has done, we've never had before. And speaking of the Constitution, as people use that as an excuse for everything, when the president of the United States is violating every possible law, rule, anything under the sun, he's dismantled it, including using the Hatch Act to have that party and the new Trump Tower named last week at and all of our public properties that our tax dollars have been paying for and maintaining all these years. I didn't hear no constitutional nothings. And, you know, we're paying for that. So I hope that some good group out there is rolling a calculator on how much money that we have had to spend for him to do the dog and pony. Let's see, there was the pipe and drape, and there was security, and there were chairs. Y'all rolling that on the calculator? Huh? Huh? Electricity, staff, text, lighting. Y'all rolling all that on the calculator? Because the campaign should pay every penny, and they shouldn't have been in there in the first place. But he'll figure out some kind of way how to continue to hustle us.
Yeah.
And use our stuff to get the job done.
And all those people staying at the Trump Hotel right down the street from the White House.
Right. And they're not helping the other hotels.
No.
They're just, you know, he's keeping all the money and all that kind.
Yeah.
So if that's the America that they want, the rest of us have had it.
Yeah.
And we don't want it.
But aren't they supposed to be physically conservative?
Isn't that a lie?
That's what I'm saying. And so every time he goes to Mar-a-Lago and all his private properties, and the Secret Service has to travel.
We're paying for it.
We're paying
for every single thing this man does.
And his family.
We're paying for it. And if folks are so concerned about money, how come they haven't rolled a calculator on that? Because, see, it's all fake.
Yeah.
Fake, phony, you know. Or how about lie?
Yeah.
Okay. That's basic down to lie. Yeah. Lie, lie, lie. Lie. I said lie, 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 lie.
You don't hear that word much.
Lie, 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 lie. The big lie?
Yeah.
Or la 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 la. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know.
I only heard one news commentator on CNN had a guest on, and she came out and said, no, sir, that's a lie.
Right.
Correct. Everyone else just said, that's just not true.
That's correct. Well, they say fake. And, you know, phony, racist, prejudice, hater, you know, any number of things that, you know, you can say. But I would say if this violence and issues of concern and people exercising their right and their constitutional right to march disturbs you constitutionally like that, then don't talk to me about the Constitution, about a mask, when you don't want people to exercise their rights to assemble and have their freedom of speech. So I don't want to hear nothing about all that, you know. That's just a go-to phrase somebody just threw out there and think nobody pays attention to it. I have a constitutional law professor that's well-trained, well-respected, that'll be here on Wednesday on the show. He's returning again. This is his third or fourth time because I always have to pull him in. And there's other ones I can just make a phone call. But he was already scheduled, so thank you, Lord. Because, we like to speak back to the stupidity and put at least for a few minutes, a few hours a week, put something in the atmosphere that's not insanity. Give your brain a rest. Whew. Let me blow on it. Get that stuff off of there so you can use your head and not your stupid stuff. Because that one don't fly. And it didn't fly in 1917 and 18 either. Because at the last pandemic, they used the same argument. So that ain't new. That's not a new one y'all just created. Okay? That's old as the Constitution itself. Pull it out, read it. Okay? Lord, please, Lord. Now, Alice Johnson. Question, wasn't Kim Kardashian the one who started working on this for this black lady?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you would not even know she was a part of this. But she was brought out, you know, a lot of these black folk that were show ponied didn't even realize that was what it was for. I mean, they were tricked. But who wasn't tricked is that representative in Georgia. Who he was up front, and then he tricked the voters down in Georgia to vote for him. And then as soon as he won, he said, oh, by the way, I'm Republican. But he won on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, how could y'all trust that brother?
What's that, Vernon?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, whatever. But I'm like, man, he's low down. You can't. And he had the government positions in DeKalb County before. I mean, you know, it's not like he just came from another planet down to Georgia. He's been tricking them people down there for a minute. So I'm sure they'll be getting rid of him shortly. And there's other candidates who, you know. But you got to watch out for folk like that, y'all. Mm-hmm. Because that one right there, amongst the many. But the tricking of the people.
And that's all
the
about
regular
the
people.
That's all about the money.
The regular people. He said, the tricking of them.
Let me jump on this Trump train and get this fundraising dollar. Same thing that Steve Bannon was doing.
Well, look at how that turned out for him.
He sees money. That's all that is.
Well, everybody sees money. And that's the problem.
In lies the problem. Yeah.
That's the biggest problem of all. Is the greed and power. My, isn't that what makes them fall? Isn't that funny how things turn out? It's the greed, the power, and they get to it. It just takes men and women down like you would not believe. So you don't think it could actually take this cat down? Really, y'all. Okay. Well, congratulations to her. But I don't even know. Maybe that was part of her agreeing to get her pardon was. You got to say.
She didn't have any choice in that.
No. I believe that she was desperate, and they said, okay, now we're going to ask you to do us a couple of favors.
Oh, do me a favor. Would you be willing to speak on behalf of Donald Trump?
Oh, sure, yes. And
no pressure. I mean, just tell him about how you know.
Or else
you,
I can repeal this, you know. Because he's that's the type of person he is.
Yeah.
So, Alice, I hope you stay strong and, you know, trust in the Lord because, honey, because that one's going to come back. It truly is. And, you know, I just ask God to be with you. Anyway, coming up next, I'm going to have actually two guests, same subject. One Middle Tennessee and one not. And first up is on the other side of this break is Reverend James McCarroll, pastor of First Baptist Church of Murfreesboro. Amen. And we'll talk to him first, and then he'll be with us, and then Dr. Kim will, Matthew Kim, professor of preaching and ministry at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, will join us in this discussion. So let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.